January 29th, 2024. Hope for the caretakers. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, Never was anything like this seen in Israel. But the Pharisee said, He cast out demons by the prince of demons. Matthew 9:32-34. We see in this passage almost a contrast to that of the blind man, or the blind men we read yesterday. We see pointed out to us that the senses of these people are all addressed, the five senses that we have as humans, by the Son of God. Not only those who can't see Christ, but also those who can't say a word. We can learn something very encouraging today, something that reaches into the reality of many homes. The disabled are not eliminated. We shouldn't think it a problem if we have a disabled child. Many of us know or live with kids and adults who can only smile or maybe not respond at all. This can be discouraging. But be sure they are not to be withheld the gospel. You must preach the gospel to them. This situation may feel lonely to you. Indeed, all suffering feels lonely. And this situation almost feels hopeless at times. Indeed, all suffering seems hopeless at times. I'm sure you wouldn't have expected this to be the topic of the day either, with this point of the passage. But this text and the ones we have read speak of our Lord as one who is held, who isn't held by these disabilities, but he is very aware of them. That child in your home isn't excluded from the grace of God. That man you may sit with every day who only stares into the distance isn't excluded from the Savior. We can see that clearly in this text. But here's what you can be sure of today. Number one, Christ doesn't need the child or adult to speak in order to save him or her. He heals the mute. And we saw earlier in 9:4 that our Lord knows a man's thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows the child that you have in your house's thoughts. He knows their intentions. He knows their hearts. He can see their inner man. So don't be discouraged. Read to the one you have in your life. Pray over them. Tell them this story and encourage a faith you probably will never see visibly. But you may see it when they reach the door of the Lord. And if you grow weary, look at these pages. He healed a leper, a servant of a centurion, calmed the storm, healed two demon-possessed men, a man paralyzed. He came for the sick. He healed a ruler's daughter and a woman who suffered. He will lead your loved one to life that is eternal. So number one, Christ doesn't need the child or adult to speak in order to save them. We see this. He knows their thoughts. Number two, your child's condition isn't loathsome to Christ. We live in a very fallen and sinful world. We have a very frail bodies. They are deteriorating. Even if you're young, your body is slowly going to grow old and then die. Suffering is all around, every corner, even daily. Every day, and if it's not yet, it will be. There's no way out of this world without suffering. Things make little sense at times. We sit at the bedsides of someone who is impaired and unable to do much and think, why? And this is a long road, too. It's day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out. But these passages say one solid thing. This Jesus knows very well and is very sensitive to those who are weak. The praying night and day, crying over the condition of someone you love so dearly is not unheard. Whether in America or somewhere else in a different country, it's not unheard. He isn't loathing your child or your loved one or you. He came to give them eternal life. So don't give up on them. So number two, your child's condition isn't loathsome to Christ. Number three, the sick, the neglected, and the race for future joy, or for true joy. It may feel like you're alone, and the doctors don't have all the answers, neither do they always have the heart. The church seems hopeful, but at times men and women say things that are meant to encourage but come off as shallow and careless. And I know you would have your loved one to get up and be made well. This seems like the answer, doesn't it? It seems like God doesn't care and that he's not doing anything. But I hope to encourage you today. He did do something already. I know it's not instant, and you often have to wait till the end before you are promised healing. This seems so frustrating. And we ask, maybe daily, why does everyone have to die in order to get the answer? It's frustrating. The pain of a race. I want you to think about this story or this analogy. Think of this situation that you're in like a race. The pain you are enduring now isn't forever, but is actually what is driving you to the finish line. It's what makes the prize a thing of great value. Like if you could run a race with no pain and no need for endurance, it wouldn't be a race. It wouldn't matter who won or lost because the fight wasn't there. There'd be no excitement because it took nothing to get there. This is important. I want you to ponder this. If God wants you to experience something, he knows exactly what you need to reach full pleasure from it, to see it clearly. Do you see? For instance, how could you understand forgiveness? Just being born? Like, what if God wanted to show you forgiveness? How would you understand it unless God made you in a situation in which you could live it personally? Like, how could God understand us unless he came and became one of us? It's the same concept. In order to understand something personally, you have to be put in the situation. You wouldn't understand mercy without having to show or receive mercy. You wouldn't understand it. And imagine a man walking up to you while you ran the race and just giving you a trophy. It would rob you of the final joy at the end of the race. Does this make sense? So what if you having to suffer through this is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory? What if the suffering you want to end is actually going to enhance the joy at the finish line all the more? Like that burning in your side after you ran that marathon. I know healing seems like the best answer, but where you're headed may need you to embrace this pain so you have greater joy or the greatest joy planned for you in eternity. It's like when a doctor has to break a limb in order for the best result for his patient, or a mom withholding something and causing her child to cry in order for them to enjoy something waiting for them all the more, or putting your child through something in order to make them understand and enjoy the end result all the more. It would be painful, but without the struggle and pain, the end would be robbed of ultimate enjoyment, ultimate joy, ultimate pleasure, ultimate understanding. These are analogies and probably not the best, but I hope you understand. The pain and suffering you and I face are known by Christ, and He is allowing it. But He's not careless or cruel. Your loved one, your disabled one, your child, your dad, your mom, whoever it is, what they are facing, God knows. Let us be sure that when we reach that finish line, we are going to rejoice that He didn't rob us by letting us be healed too early. He withholds in order to bless us all the more. And He really is working all things together for your good and the disabled loved one in your presence. So don't lose heart. And with this, let us have a happy Monday.